Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Columbus Zoo and Aquarium typically draws more than 2 million visitors in a year. 2020 was different. The zoo was closed from mid-March to mid-June as part of the shutdown to stem the spread of COVID-19. Still, the more than 10,000 animals that live there still have to eat and still require 24/7 care. Zoo employees have been furloughed and positions have been eliminated at both the zoo and its 10,000-acre Wild Animal Conservation Center, 70 miles east of Columbus. Tom Stolf is president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo. He also serves as the chair of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums Wildlife Conservation Committee. He's a board member of the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund International and the International Elephant Foundation. Tom Stolf, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what has been the financial hit of all of this? Give us the bottom line right now.
Well, the bottom line is we're going to be okay, but it's been a roller coaster ride for us. As a nonprofit, our operating budget exceeds over $100 million annually, and we count on attendance to offset the cost of caring for our animals. And when the COVID restrictions were in place starting in March, we were looking at a $28 million loss at best. And because it was so unknown, we didn't know when we could open. But with our opening in June and with all of our restrictions in place, and unfortunately with all of our cuts to our budgets, we're going to probably end the year with less than a $2 million loss.
Okay. So is that good?
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah. It could have been a heck of a lot worse. And we are very proud to serve our community. And we're so thankful that we were allowed to open in a safe way. And this is a strong nonprofit. And we are able to provide great experiences locally and great conservation support globally. So yeah, we're going to be all right. And we'll get through this and hope that a vaccine comes in 21 sooner than later. And we can see more restrictions that will easier for guests to come in. And so we'll see less restrictions, I guess I should say, and get people in to the zoo and enjoy themselves.
What about the workforce? I mentioned furloughs, layoffs. Have you reorganized? What's going on with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did have to let 80 people go, 40 of them permanently. And that was, you know, one of the toughest decisions that we had to make. But we needed to reduce our operating budget by $20 million. And in order to do that, we had to look holistically at every aspect of our organization, which included some positions. And so we are reorganizing and looking at some open positions that we have that we may fill in 21. But at this time, we are just on COVID alert. Our strategic plan remains the same, but we did add a few statements, which are simply this. We need to survive 20, we need to survive 21, and then we need to rebuild our organization beyond. And that might take several years.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the zoo today with Tom Stolf. He is president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. If you have a question or comment for Tom, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. In all of this, I mean, I would imagine that the people who hung on the longest and are the people that have the direct contact with the animals, right?
Yeah, there are essential staff. You know, when we first had the COVID restrictions, you know, in the beginning of March go in, we wanted to make sure we talked to the governor's office. We did that routinely. And we wanted to ensure that our team would be allowed to come to the zoo. We are essential. And, you know, there were about 300 staff members coming in every day, making sure that our animal care was, you know, would never waver. Animal welfare is our top priority. We have 10,000 animals throughout our organization, including the wilds. The animal care is outstanding.
You know, you're plugged into the larger universe of zoos and aquariums across the country. What is your sense about how the, you know, your operation is doing in comparison to the rest of the country? Is everybody faring as well?
I don't think so. You know, we worked really hard with our state officials. I was asked to sit on the initial committees. I actually chaired one of the committees when we started to look at restarting Ohio and looking at ways to provide our guests a safe entrance. We did make restrictions like time ticketing and social distancing and now mask wearing required throughout their entire facilities. But I think there are still aquariums and zoos in the United States that have not opened yet. And that's absolutely devastating. I know there was an article that the Oakland Zoo may close permanently. I think that they're going to work through this, but you know, we're talking about devastation throughout all nonprofits. You know, we have our local nonprofits in our area with COSI and Franklin Park Conservatory. They're hurting, and so, you know, we have to make sure that we all know we're all hurting. And, you know, when we have that opportunity to open, we're going to open safely.
Yeah, I've done shows on the performing arts during the pandemic and the fine arts as well. And philanthropists have stepped up in a lot of those cases. What's it been like for the zoo?
Same. We've had our friends within our community have stepped up and helped us. They literally saved our organization. We created an emergency animal care fund, and so many donors, so many supporters came out. Many people joined and became a zoo member even when we weren't open. Mm-hmm. They did that to save their local zoo, and that's essential. You know, before COVID hit us, our economic impact just the Columbus area exceeds over $300 million annually. So not only are we a great place to enjoy time with your family and see animals, but we're an economic engine. We're a tourist destination in Central Ohio, giving back to our community financially as well. So, you know, we provide jobs and contractors and we want to be, you know, to continue to be that essential piece of our community.
Is there any ways, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in positions like yours now over the course of the last 9 or 10 months. Is there any ways you see the pandemic and how we've responded to it permanently changing how the zoo operates in any way?
I think so. I think that some of the restrictions will go away once the vaccine is in place. But I do believe that when we talk about guest experiences and health and safety, we were always a safe, clean facility, but we will not stop sanitizing and making sure that our areas are sanitized and clean for our guests. And frankly, I think internally, when you have a cold, you need to stay home. And if you are not feeling well, wear a mask. I think that's gonna stay with us for a long time. And I'm not talking about just the zoo. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel around the world. I've been to every continent. And it's just common when you go to another country or from around the world, when you would walk through the airport, people would just be wearing masks. It's because they're protecting themselves and they're protecting you. And I think that that's going to stay with us. And I think that's a good thing.
Everybody looks forward to the zoo lights the wild lights, I guess, at the zoo every year. And I know you proceeded with that this year. How did people turn out?
Well, you know, greatly reduced attendance, but they still had a great time. We're actually still open now until just a few more days. I think January 3rd is our last day. You know, so on a normal, 2019 day, we could see, you know, thousands of people and, you know, sometimes backups in traffic. We didn't have that this year. We asked all of our guests to time ticket, even if you're a member. So that means you had to get online and schedule your time. We wanted to make sure that we were the ones that set our attendance numbers in park. We didn't have, you know, a regulation from the state or anything. We just wanted to ensure safety. Keep in mind, you know, we have over 3 miles of outdoor walking spaces, sidewalks and things. So we can attract, you know, many people, but we did it. And we definitely restricted our numbers, and we did it in a safe way.
Are people necessarily following the rules, though? Have you had any problems with that? Because I know bars and restaurants that are still open, I think I just read an article in the Dispatch today or over the weekend that said some people just don't want to follow the rules.
So they definitely are following the time ticketing rules because you're not coming in without your time ticket.
Right.
But I would say 95 to 99% of the folks that are coming to the zoo are complying with wearing their masks. There's a very small percentage of people that are what I would say an anti-masker, and they just aren't going to do it. And that's a shame because then it just requires our teams to have to focus on, ensuring that they wear a mask. If they don't wear a mask, then they're going to have to leave the zoo. And, you know, the zoo is about creating smiles, not frowns. And so we want people to come to the zoo and have a good time. And I want to assure everybody that, we're going to do it safely. And I can tell you, for the most part, people are coming with their families. They're having fun. And they're wearing a mask. Let's face facts. Nowhere in this area can you go and not have a mask on. So, you know, it's just becoming normal for us.
I read that the 200 of the about 75% of the 220 U.S. zoos and aquariums that are represented by the National Association of Zoos and Aquariums have had tough decisions like you have about furloughs and layoffs. But 6 in 10 have applied for assistance from the federal government as well, from the coronavirus relief package. That support ran out this month. Did the Columbus Zoo apply for that coverage? And is the Columbus Zoo up for more in this next bill?
So unfortunately, we did not qualify.
Okay.
According to the CARES Act and the PPP grants or loans, it would only affect employers that employed less than 500 employees, and we employ over 2,500. So we received zero funding for the PPP loans. We did find some CARES Act money through Franklin County and the city of Columbus that helped us with our personal protective equipment, the PPEs, so offsetting some of our cost on masks and sanitation.
My guest is Tom Stauff. He is president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. We're talking about, you know, how things are working during the pandemic. We are talking about, we're coming up, we're going to talk about some new babies and more. Do you have a question or comment? Join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. The Columbus Zoo and Aquarium was closed to the public for 3 months in the spring as the coronavirus took hold. In Ohio, the zoo has reopened but continues to grapple with how to stay afloat while keeping animals and humans healthy and safe from COVID-19. Still with us is Tom Stauff. He's president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo. Tom, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do the animals miss the visitors?
They did. I walk the zoo every single day. And when we were closed, it's funny because I would walk past our polar bears or the tigers. And during the time we were closed, they would actually stop what they were doing and stare at me and wonder, what in the world is that? And when we're open, they just go on their business and have some fun. So, it was very quiet, eerie here at the zoo during our time that we were closed, and we're glad we're open.
I think like maybe some of the animals, like the gorillas and things like that, would be even more aware of the change.
Yeah, our keeper staff, they do amazing work with our animals, and they really worked hard on enrichment, giving our animals things to do. Some of the gorillas would receive puzzles and, you know, things to work on and enjoy, keep their mind healthy and keep them active, exercise. We all need to do that, right?
Exactly. Let's see. Beth in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Ann. I just had a quick question. I wanted to find out how they've, if they've pivoted the wilds, or is that, you know, for COVID, has that changed? I just wanted to, ask, and
sure.
I'll listen.
Okay. Thanks,
I'm
Beth.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, so the wilds is a very essential part of the Columbus Zoo's organization. And we did have to make some changes there because if you haven't been to the wilds, you need to get there. It's a safari where we provide people an opportunity to ride on either a converted school bus or in a safari vehicle. So we had to limit how many guests could actually ride on the vehicle. And we also have done time ticketing, so we knew exactly who was coming and when they were coming, so we can accommodate. We do also have overnight stays at the wilds, and they were closed for a while, but now they're all open. It was one of the first things that was able to open. Matter of fact, the wilds opened before the zoo. So they're doing okay. And the animals are doing great. We've had a few babies there. It's rhino world at the wilds right now. I know that we've had three baby rhinos born and a baby giraffe. And it's really great that we can continue to do all of our conservation efforts. And frankly, the wilds had many donations that helped them. And they're going to come out of COVID with zero debt. And we're very, very happy about that.
Beth, thanks a lot for that call. Anybody else? 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the zoo and aquarium with and the wilds with President and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, Tom Stauff. Victoria from Westerville sent us an email. She said in late November, she attended Chatting with the Cheetahs. It was a personal behind-the-scenes event of a lifetime. We all, not the cheetahs, were masked and had a grand time. We used the photo with Kwame as our Christmas card. Hopefully this will encourage our friends to go to the zoo. Weather was cool and rainy. Animals were out, and we caught some wild lights and other wildlife before and after our cheetah chat. Walkways were clearly marked with directional arrows. Lots of informational signs, too. A good, entertaining outing.
Yeah, so this is really important. When we were originally, you know, faced with closing our organization, and we worked with our finance team and our board, we knew we were in trouble. And I went out and talked face to face with all of our departments in the zoo and said, folks, we are having devastating financial trouble here. We need everyone's help. And it was our zoo staff that came up with these great behind the scenes experiences. Unbelievable. So we have sloth yoga, painting with penguins. You can come and give an elephant a bath, go in and hand feed and see our red pandas. There's exercising with animals, the cheetah chat. You just go to columbuszoo.org. And if you didn't get your favorite gift during the holidays, you can click on that. And when's the last time you gave an elephant a bath?
I've never given an elephant a bath, but you actually could go in and help do that.
Absolutely. And it is wonderful. Hats off to our team because they were so creative. Here's one more thing that they did for me. And well, not for me, but for the zoo. We did a painting with animals, and you can go either online or go to our gift shop, and you can get a personalized painting from a penguin, from a a python, from an elephant, and it's unique and special. I guarantee you, you can't find that at your store. And you know, it's something really special. And all proceeds go back to our emergency animal fund to help the zoo.
You know, I was reading about Jack Hanna, who this year resigned from active participation with the zoo. He'll always be remembered for his relationship with the zoo, obviously. But he's the one that kind of brought to the fore the idea of bringing animals out to visit and to get them out into the public whenever possible and safe. And, I imagine a lot, that's kind of something a lot of people are missing right now, because every once in a while, you got a chance to, you know, pet a baby something or other.
Yeah. You know, Jack is wonderful. That he started here in Columbus in 1978, and it was in the early 80s. What brought him to the forefront was his appearance on national TV with twin gorillas. I think that was like 82. And he was on the David Letterman show and Good Morning America. And, you know, he is just an absolute genius when you talk about engaging people and hearing some fun, interesting facts about animals. You know, it's a motto that he started many years ago. It's called "Touch the Heart to Teach the Mind." And this year we opened up the Jack Hanna's Animal Encounters Village next to Adventure Cove. And it's all about what Jack brings to Columbus. And it's about inspiring people, connecting them to wildlife and wild places. And, you know, we just absolutely love the fact that Jack Hanna spent over 42 years here at Columbus. I met him in the early 90s, and I've been working with him ever since. And the reason why I'm here is because of Jack and my relationship. I was running the zoo in Northwest Illinois, did that for 20 years, and then came here in 2010. And we'll keep that legacy going for Jack and Susie Hanna. They are just wonderful people. And, you know, there's no better way to honor Jack and Susie than to continue that spirit of touch the heart to teach the mind and engage people. When they come to the zoo, we know that they're going to come here and leave with smiles on their faces. But I also want people to realize that when they come to the zoo, they're actually investing in wildlife conservation. And that, I think, is the best gift that we can ever give.
And something that can take a hit during the economic downturn that is inevitable with something like this one every 100-year pandemic.
Oh, it absolutely could be devastating. You think about these conservationists around the world, and you don't have to go to Rwanda. It can be right here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to make sure our streams are clean and safe. And there's little animals called hellbenders that live in our streams in West Virginia and in Ohio. And we have to keep conservation at the forefront. It's all about making sure that the animals that are in our care are ambassadors, and we're inspiring people to care about animals all around the world.
I remember after Katrina, devastated so much of New Orleans. There was a big issue with the aquarium there and what was going to happen to the animals that were left behind. I mean, that they had to get out. Now, they evacuated a lot of them, and zoos and aquariums from around the country stepped up, and I think some of them came to the Columbus Zoo. I can't remember, but is there going to be an effort like that? So if Oakland does have to shut down, do other zoos step up and help out?
Yeah. So, you know, and let's make sure everyone realizes Oakland Zoo is not closing. They're financially in trouble. They need, they definitely need some help. But yes, we all work together, and it's not just zoos that are members of AZA working to make sure that we can care for our animals. What we're doing is working all around the world, making sure that we can care for our animals. And, you know, a perfect example is what happened in Zanesville, Ohio, when we had an individual let 56 animals loose. The Columbus Zoo and the wilds were at the forefront, and we cared for the animals that survived that. It also created one of the best laws in any state in the United States, protecting people and ensuring animal welfare is the top priority.
Boy, how can you forget that? That's right. Primates are especially susceptible to human diseases. Has that been an issue when it comes to COVID-19?
So we work with our animal healthcare department, with all of our veterinarians and our zoo staff. And, you know, we're ensuring that all of our animals are safe. But you have to realize that when you would come to the zoo and you would see a zookeeper back with our great apes, they were always masked up, and they always took, you know, health care and safety as a top priority. So our animals are healthy, our staff is healthy, and things are well for us. When we talk about animal welfare, it is top notch here at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium in the wilds.
You mentioned the successful births of 3 giraffe calves at the zoo, the most recent born on December 9th. How big of a deal is that to have 3 in just this year?
Yeah, so 3 at the zoo, 1 at the wilds, then the wilds had 3 rhinos. So yeah, we're very fortunate. We all work with the Species Survival Program. That's in the zoo world, that's the SSP, Species Survival Program. So we actually have coordinators that are looking at pairing up animals, and that's how we work together with all of our animals around the zoos in the US. And well, globally, frankly. And, it's a great way to contribute to make sure that our group of animals that we care for are sustainable and that we can work with other zoos as well. That's why our polar bear male just went down to Louisville Zoo, and hopefully we'll have love in the air, and we'll have polar bear cubs someday soon.
So that's all happening. Those things, it's really important to maintain those plants and to keep them going, because the species and the endangerment of the species doesn't wait for a pandemic, right?
That's correct. And we also want to make sure that, you know, breeding of the animals, when we do have young, we already have them spoken for where they're going to go. It's not just having animals at a zoo. There's a purpose behind it, and it's focusing on genetics and making sure that the mean kinship, where they're coming from, they're not related, and that they have homes so we can continue to have these species in zoos. It's very rare, very, very rare to go out into the wild and have an animal come from the wild and go into a zoo. If they do that, it's because they need help. The manatee program is a perfect example. When a mother manatee is hit by a boat or a baby is, you know, orphaned in some way, they'll actually come to the Columbus Zoo, spend a couple years here being rehabilitated, and then we re-release them in the exact location that they were found. And I had that opportunity to release a manatee last year. The manatee's name was Agua. And I can tell you right now, there was a little bobber on the back dorsal ring of this animal. And I watched that bobber go and disappear in the water and know that with that little sensor was something that we could follow for a few months before they actually go and remove it. And it's an emotional feeling to know that in Columbus, Ohio, this animal came all the way up here. We loved it. We cared for it and brought it back to perfect health. And now Agua is happy in Florida, hanging out with other manatees. And that's a great story for us.
The white rhino calves, two born just this month. The last male of the northern subspecies of white rhino died in 2018. What does the future hold for them?
Yeah, so that's a northern white rhino that you're talking about. There's only a few. We have southern white rhinos, and there's still, I mean, there's 20,000, and that sounds like a big number, but that's globally. You know, that's the thing that we have to make sure everyone realizes. Zoos are so important. When we talk about why zoos matter, one of the first things that I'm going to talk to you about is the fact that they're ambassadors for us. When we see a zoo animal, realize that the product of our success is our investment in field conservation. And the ambassadors that are in zoos are representing the animals out in the wild. And I can tell you that, you know, cheetahs, at one time, they were very abundant. And now there's less than 7,000 left in Africa. And we have to do more to protect them. And your best place to support wildlife conservation is at your local zoo. We have some fantastic zoos in Ohio, and every single one of them are contributing to wildlife conservation. Last year alone, in 2019, we raised over $231 million for wildlife conservation. That's throughout all of AZA, which is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. I don't know that many organizations that can raise that type of money for wildlife conservation, and we're very proud of that. And I think it's important that when we continue to look at our future, we look holistically of why we matter. And it's fun to go to a zoo, there's no question about it. But realize when you go to a zoo, you're actually contributing to conservation and making a difference.
A big part of what you do at the zoo and aquarium is educate, and school trips are a big part of that educational matrix. What has been lost in the shuffle here with the pandemic and schools closing down?
Yeah, so we lost our school field trips. When we opened back up in June, the schools were restricted. Some were, you know, obviously not even going. So, that's devastating to us financially, but realize that the schools are coming in for free or deep discounts when they come into the zoo. So what we lost was the opportunity to inspire kids about wildlife and wild places. So, you know, we need to make sure that when you're home with your family, that you go online and you learn about animals. We provide online opportunities where you can chat and talk with the zoo staff. We do that on social media every single day. You know, I think that it's important that we start very young talking about all these beautiful animals from around the world. And we're looking forward to 21, where I think we're going to be able to provide students a great time to come to the zoo and still get back to where we were.
We are talking to Tom Stolf. He is president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Columbus Zoo and the challenges from COVID-19. Still with us is the zoo's president and CEO, Tom Stauff. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. When I was reading a press release from the zoo, Tom, I actually was reading the whole thing, and I got down toward the end, and it said that the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium and the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado are the co-founders of the Giraffe Plasma Bank. And I thought, wait a minute, hold the phone. There's a plasma bank for giraffes, which made me think, well, are there plasma banks for other species? And why? Same reason we have it for humans.
Yeah, so that did start with our veterinarian team. And we've actually saved giraffes in zoos. And it's a great way that science and zoo leadership can work together. And that's Dr. Priya. We have a TV show called Secrets of the Zoo. And you can watch that every week. And people are just loving the opportunity to see behind the zoo behind the scenes at all of our health experts. And yes, not only giraffe plasma, but other plasma banks to be able to save animals. You know, they're so vital to us. When we talk about endangered species, that means there's not that many left in the wild. And we want to be able to learn when they're in human care and relate that out into the wild as well. We're doing that every single day. And, it's funny because when I grew up and going to my local zoo, I just came to see the animals. And then after I left, I loved seeing the elephants and the tigers. I had no idea that there's so much more going on. And when we talk about animal welfare, it's a broad stroke there. Animal welfare, not only for the animals in our care, but how we can learn to care for them out in the wild. I'll give you one last example. Mm-hmm. We just had an in vitro fertilization success in cheetahs. And that was first time ever in the world that's ever happened. That happened with our scientists from the Smithsonian at the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. They actually flew here. And they had the gametes. So we were able to impregnate a carrier, a female, and she gave birth to two unrelated cubs. And they're doing wonderfully here at the zoo. And that is a huge deal because now think about this. We could fly to Zimbabwe or fly to the Serengeti in Tanzania and do the exact same thing. There's only 7,000 cheetahs left. And for 16 years, these scientists have been working on this. And because of the Columbus Zoo and the relationship that we have in our cheetah program, we were able to help out these scientists and have success.
And it could be, the idea is to repopulate in the wild and not just with cheetahs, but with other species as well, right? I mean, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great story for us. And think about this. You know, we could actually go out into the wild. We could collect the eggs that we need or the sperm that we need. They can be brought into a human care environment, raise that animal up carefully, and then release it back out into the wild. Now, ultimately, we want the animals to be, out into the national parks and doing well. But unfortunately, like the northern white rhino, there were only three left. And unfortunately, in our lifetime, we're going to watch that species disappear. And that's just unacceptable. So we want to be able to make a difference. And we're working with science daily to, really have that impact.
Bill in Cincinnati, you're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi, this is Bill from Cincinnati.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I wanted to say, we love our zoo here because of the hippo, but Tom and Jack have done a wonderful job in Columbus, and we come visit as often as we can. And we think they've done a wonderful job with the African Serengeti plane.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Fiona at the Cincinnati Zoo is a rock star. She has books, she has videos, and I talk with my friends at the Cincinnati Zoo on a regular basis. And what a great story there. That was an animal that needed human care from day one and was hand-raised and very iconic and represents zoos globally. But to Bill's comment about Africa, you know, zoos have evolved over the years. I remember when I grew up, I remember going into a monkey house and just unacceptable for me to look at animals behind heavy bars and concrete, cinder block walls, very small. You know, as we talk about inspiring everyone, but especially youth, about how important wildlife is, and the key to conservation is coexistence, you have to tell that story. It's so important that we realize when we're designing new facilities, new exhibits for us, that we realize that 99% of our guests will never get an opportunity to travel to Africa. So we brought Africa to Ohio. We literally took a soybean field and created an African savanna where animals coexist with each other. And it's funny because when we first opened, people, our guests walked up and thought our lions were sitting right next to our zebras. That's not how it works. The zebras and the lions look like they're sharing the exact same area, but the way we built it, the lions have plenty of room, but there's a barrier that they cannot go and visit the zebras because that wouldn't be a good day for the zebra. So it's about making sure that we can tell that story, because when you go to Africa, and please, I hope who is listening today, you go to Africa, I want you to see that animals live together. They coexist. And it's wonderful to see. And we're very proud of Heart of Africa here at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium.
Bill, thanks for that call. Terry in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Thanks, Ann. This is a great show. I have a, and thank you for all the work for you're doing for Columbus Zoo, sir. And I have a six-year-old granddaughter who's attended the zoo camps for the past few years, and she just loves it. And I was just wondering, do you think that will occur this summer?
Yes, we are designing our zoo camps for sure. They will definitely happen. I'm hoping that they happen in person, but we will definitely have all of our safety protocols in place. So when the zoo camps open, they'll be socially distancing. And you need to check out our website, columbuszoo.org, for all of the details. We're still providing opportunities today for people to have that experience. And I talked to Ann earlier about giving an elephant a bath, but the kids can also participate as well on many different things. So, you know, I think that that's real important now, because I have three kids at home and we're always looking for things to do, and getting out to the zoo and participating in some type of education program, I think that's vital for us. So yes, we plan on having our programs not only at the zoo, but also at the wilds.
Terry, good question. Thanks a lot for that. Pam in Upper Arlington, you're on the air with Tom Stoff, President and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. Hi, Pam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that before we moved to Columbus in 1988, we lived out of state and we used to travel here just to come to the zoo. So it's a gem of a place and we're so lucky to have it here in Central Ohio. My other point is that my husband and I are in our late 60s, and the week before last, we visited Wildlife at the zoo. Mm-hmm. We felt very safe. We loved that we were able to make a reservation and go in, and that we could socially distance. Everyone was wearing masks. So I would encourage people to go ahead and visit the zoo at this time, because it was really a delightful experience. And again, we felt very safe. So thanks a lot. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Pam. Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much. Suzanne in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, good morning. I'm a zoo supporter for my oldest son and his young family and just renewed their membership for Christmas. However, I have a question for Tom about what the zoo and particularly what the staff, the foundation perhaps, is doing to support young families, particularly right now when there's such high unemployment in the across the U.S., but certainly in Ohio as well. The entry into the zoo and particularly the parking could be prohibitive for these young families. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, Suzanne, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That is so important to us. We want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to come to our organization, our zoos, and the wilds as well. So we do have a scholarship program, and that gives people an opportunity to participate in some of these programs that the earlier caller was asking about. We're also providing free admission to entering into the zoo on many different aspects. Another program that we're working on, it's not finalized yet, but we're trying to work with all of our local libraries where as you go to the library, you can check out a book. We're hoping that you can check out a zoo membership. So it's not finalized yet. And I'm probably going to get a lot of mad faces here at the zoo saying, Tom, what are you talking about? But I love it. I love the opportunity where, think about it, you could just go to your local branch and get your membership, check it out, come to the zoo, and enjoy yourself. I think that that's so important for us that we have that opportunity. Here's another thing that we're going to do, but we've always done this. Realize that it's half price admission starting in January, February, and into March as well. So,
I was going to say the cold weather has always been the better time to visit the zoo, in my opinion.
Well, and it's always 85 degrees in the reptile house.
Well, right, exactly.
So, you know, I think animals are really active during the time where we would say it's slow, but there's 4 miles of walking space. It's all clear for our guests. We want to make sure it's affordable for everyone to come into the zoo. And, you know, it's a great place for people to exercise. I walk the zoo every single day. And it's really a great time to get that exercise in, see amazing animals. It's not crowded. And, you know, you feel good. You feel healthy.
We just have like a minute left, Tom, but I wanted to ask you about the Adventure Cove. It opened in July. I haven't seen it yet myself. Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's wonderful. We brought seals and sea lions back. It was about 30 years ago when they were here.
Yeah.
And we built a near 400,000 gallon saltwater area with 3 different pools, a underwater viewing tube that's never been built anywhere in the world. This is 360 view, and it's unbelievable. Then you go from that area of the sea lions and seals into the Jacana Animal Encounters Village, where you have that up close personal experiences. And that's free. You're not going to, once you get into the zoo, there's no extra charge there. We want to make sure you have that great experience. And everybody's a VIP here at the Columbus Zoo. So it's wonderful. And we need more people to come and see it. You know, that's the first time in my history that I did a ribbon cutting virtually, and no one was there because we opened when we were during the pandemic. So we only had very limited guests. The bottom line is everything is open at the zoo. You come here, we treat you like you're a VIP, and it's safe.
That's Tom Stoff. He is president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. Thanks so much for your time today, Tom. Thanks to everybody else for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.